5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Oh, hello, welcome to another episode of Tech Talk. I am Stephen Scott, and with me this week I've got Tim Schwartz from lifeafterblindness.com. How are you, sir?
The dot com.
Yep, the dot com.
It is me. Hello, Stephen. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I feel like I'm getting more Cookie Monster with that. The dot com.
Yeah, that C be is my... for dot com, I guess?
A C is for dot com. Yeah. Well, no. Well, okay. We'll
go not really.
It. No, not really. Anyway. Yeah, you can see I could do with some more Sesame Street in my life, I think. We've also got Emails Andy with me as well. Hello, Emails Andy.
Hello. How are we all?
I just love that every time I say that now, I say, here's Emails Andy. And that just happens. I love that. I don't know how that works.
You know, I am starting to get quite offended. There's several weeks in a row that we've done that. I want a theme song. Why don't I get a theme song?
Hang on a sec. Have we got God Bless America here? No, I don't have it handy. Sorry. What's that one that Trump always used to come out to? What was that one? And I'm proud to be an American.
Why do you have to say that name? Why, Stephen? Why?
Well, you're American, aren't you?
We've moved on. At least I have.
Well, I watch CNN. We haven't moved on. That's getting political very quickly. Anyway, Sean Preece is back with us. Hi, Sean.
I'm at my depth. It's all politics. I'm confused. I don't want to say anything. Hello. Good to be here.
Oh, dear. Hello. Yes, it's nice to be back. And yes, it is a whole hour once again because we didn't quite manage to clear up the email inbox last week. So we're going to fix it this week. We're going to get back into the emails.
Email. We get email.
We know you love this jingle.
We get your email every day.
If you don't love it, just sing along.
Here's your mail today.
You know, cut the hate out of your life. I think that's important.
A cappella.
.com.
Remix.
The show with characters that nobody asked for.
Can you set this as my ringtone when you phone me, Stephen?
Yes.
Like, or when I phone you, I should say. Like that. This is what plays when... Oh, Andy
it seems appropriate. Yeah, it really does. That is your theme tune. Yeah. We'll get something sorted for you, Tim, I promise. We'll find something. I'll find something very appropriate for you for next week. You have indeed asked for it, and you will indeed get it. Okay, so let's get into the emails this week.
I've asked for it. I'm nervous and afraid now. Very afraid.
Okay, let's get into the inbox then. What's lurking in there this week?
The final four pages we have here. Hi, all.
Well, hopefully not the final four pages.
Well, not the final
four. More.
Yeah. For now, anyway, yeah. Yes, until we have a top-up. Hi, all, says Graham. This is in response to the discussion of smart TVs featured on the 27th of July. Now, back in April, I bought a new Sony KD48A9 OLED Android TV.
Not the A9.
The A9.
That's a mouthful.
That is.
It is. To replace my 2019 Samsung TV, which had a couple of issues. I researched this TV as far as I could. Sony claimed that it was fully accessible on their website. Tested one in store for a short time to assure myself that it would suit my needs, as far as you can go in a shop at least. Armed with all this information, I purchased the TV. It wasn't until I had it set up at home that I found out that UView, a service which enables you to use catch-up TV without having to use the various players such as ITV Hub, BBC iPlayer, it just doesn't work with Sony's ScreenView screen reader. FreeView worked well, and ScreenView read out all of the menus and all of the TV guides, but when you went to the source list, all was fine until you wanted to edit it. And at that point, if you pushed on edit to add or remove something from the list, you got the message that the source list couldn't be edited with accessibility features turned on. Now, as this was an Android TV as well as Sony's ScreenView screen reader, you also had the option of TalkBack. And if you had this turned on when navigating your settings menu, all you heard was unlabeled button, unlabeled button.
Brilliant.
Last, if you are lucky enough to have a sound system that supports Dolby Atmos with the accessibility features turned on, the ARC channel, which sends the Atmos signal to your sound system, is disabled. I eventually went back to the store, who were sympathetic to my situation, and managed to swap it for a new 2021 Samsung TV. Thank God, difference between light and day. Completely accessible, out of the box. Everything works. Yes, some of the apps don't work, but that is probably down to the app developers rather than the limitations in the Samsung accessibility suite. Like Stephen, I use an Apple TV, or use Apple TV, so issues such as some of the players not working as they should doesn't apply. As well as the screen reader support in the Samsung TVs, there are a host of other features for the disabled. To anyone who is looking to buy themselves a smart TV, take my advice and don't look beyond Samsung. Certainly not in the near term. Thanks for a great show, guys. All the best. That's from Graham Roby.
Well, thank you, Graham, and I'm so sorry you had to go through all that. I mean, that is just unbelievable, really, isn't it? I mean, so you buy the TV and the Freeview part works fine, and then you get to the Uview part. And I'll be honest, I kind of wonder what you need the Uview for, right? I mean, and I don't mean that towards you, Graham. I just mean generally, I've never understood what all this is about. There's so many different versions of Freeview now. And I know, Tim, this is probably lost on you a bit because we're talking here about UK TV platforms. But, you know, Freeview, Freeview Play, Uview, which to me is the same thing. It's just, it's all very confusing, to be honest. And then, you know, you've got other versions of that which exist within the TVs themselves. Whew, it's quite a minefield. But yeah, that sounds like you've had a lot of challenges. I did find with the Sony that as much as I like the TV, and I've always loved the TVs they make, but the accessibility part just still feels a bit immature. And to be honest, it's quite frustrating, isn't it, that in 2021... that's where we are. Considering what we've... I mean, look, last week we were talking about smartphones and all the different smartphones that are out there that are accessible, even low-end, cheaper Android phones, even the kind of low-end, cheaper iPhones that you can buy, even refurbished. Those are very accessible. But when it comes to TVs, it seems that only one company's kind of worked it out and got it right, and that just seems weird to me. Sean, I know you've recently got the Samsung. In fact, Tim, you as well. You both got the Samsung, didn't you?
Yes, we did.
How are you finding that?
Yeah, it's amazing. I love it. And no, it's not perfect. And I think, look, the accessible TV genre, I'm going to say genre, is still very immature.
Better than genre.
Thank you. When it comes to accessibility. And, so as far as I understand it, isn't Uview the on-demand service, as I think the
email said? Well, so is Freeview Play, though. I mean, so basically you can, on Uview, you can go to the electronic program guide, and unlike your regular electronic program guide where you move forward into the week or into the day, you can go backwards on the schedule. You can actually go backwards into programming and go, it's like a live on demand, if you like, that you could say, well, I want to go back to yesterday at 7:30 and watch Coronation Street. You could go back and do that and just hit play and it would start playing it. Yeah, that's the kind of key difference, I think.
But the interesting thing about this is that if the marketing around this specific TV said fully accessible, if there wasn't anywhere a little asterisk that said apart from the Uview section, then I would be really annoyed by this. And also, why isn't it accessible? What's the reason for this? Is it a case of the accessibility team behind this just, oh, it can't be done? Is there a technical reason why it can't be done, or is it a case that they didn't want to put the work in? It's difficult to say. Then again, you know, not everything. Like you say, with the smartphones, you know, some apps that you get just aren't on up to accessibility, aren't up to par when it comes to accessibility, and that's down to the developers. So I'm not sure, but I got to say, I do love the Samsung, but I haven't used enough to say they're the best out there. Because LG also do accessibility, as a lot of them do. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a shame you've got to go through this, though.
Yeah. Tim, you've got the Samsung. What one did you get?
It was actually I don't remember the model number specifically, but it was a Samsung 2020 because it was just this last year and it was the newest one. And I really enjoy it. I like it a lot, knowing that you had one and Sean had just purchased one, I think, right before I did. Our television before that totally blew out, so we had to get something. And the accessibility is pretty good. The voice, you know, interaction is really good.
Voice isn't great. I'll be honest, the voice on it's not brilliant.
The voice itself is not good, but the way it interacts and what it reads read more than what I was expecting it to.
Yeah.
With all the different menus and settings and things. And of course, you are going to find issues with certain apps. And like Sean said, of course, that comes down to the developer themselves. So there are certain apps that I've downloaded on there that don't read as well. And that's up to the app developer. Although I do just go back to using my Apple TV, quite honestly, if I'm wanting to use a specific app. I mean, there are some things we might use through Samsung, but for the most part, I'll just go to the Apple TV. But anything that I've wanted to use, the Samsung has been quite accessible, and I've been very happy with it.
I like it. I mean, I find that these TVs, maybe it's a platform issue, because if you're jumping between FreeView, which is one platform, you're going to UView, which is another, and a bit like the apps, I guess, they all have their own inbuilt layouts, and the screen reader is only capable of so much within that. I mean, the company is responsible, and I'm not standing up for anyone here or defending anyone here, but just this is how it maps out in my head. The TV manufacturer is responsible for making sure that the TV works up to the point of the usage of the app. So say you went into an app, even if you were fully sighted, you're not disabled, and you've gone into an app and the app just crashes all the time. Can you blame the manufacturer for that, or do you blame the app developer? And how does that work? Because to me, that's the same issue, isn't it? That it's not working. So, you know, who's to blame on that? Is it the app developer or the TV manufacturer?
The manufacturer would not release a TV where the app's all crashed, whereas if an app isn't accessible, they don't care so much. And
well, that's true. I agree with that. But I think I'm talking about maybe a single app that crashes. Because that's kind of what you're talking about here. You're not talking about every app not working. No, you're talking about some bits of it working, some bits of it have been tested. I agree with you, though, and to your point earlier about things not being tested enough or being checked out enough. I mean, it seems a bit negligent in some ways for companies just to put a product out there and say, well, we've added accessibility, we've tested it with our EPG, it works with our menu system, it works with our settings menu, and that's kind of as far as it goes. That doesn't seem right, does it? It seems that you should at least... I mean, I'll say one thing. At least it tells you it doesn't work. I think that's kind of funny in a way. Yes, this will not work. You know, have a nice day. Whatever you're planning to do, don't bother. I find that interesting.
And again, with the Dolby, I mean, if it limits your Dolby, then, I mean, why?
That's so frustrating.
That?
It's the same with audio description. You get that now with certain audio description. I think it's on Sky as well now. It's on Sky TV, because obviously now it has the guide, the talking... the voice guidance, you have the problem where if you turn that on, it will turn off 5.1 surround sound, so you won't get that anymore. You just have to live with the regular 2.1. I think with audio description it's the same, so you can rule it out if you turn on AD anyway, and if you need the voice guidance, you've lost the 5.1, you're back to the 2.1 channel surround, which isn't surround, obviously, it's just stereo. And it's just, I don't know, it just seems awful. Can I also just make a quick complaint about Sky with one thing, because it drives me insane. I keep turning off the hints, because the hints part of it just makes everything so verbose, and I find that quite irritating. And they've added the function where you can turn off the hints, but for some reason, every day when I turn the TV back on, it puts the hints back on. So... If someone could fix that. Yeah, it probably does hate me, yeah. Most things do. But I find that quite irritating. I don't know if anyone else has experienced that. I don't know if it's maybe the system's resetting at night or something, or, you know, sometimes they do updates through the night. Maybe things are updating and it's changing the settings back. But I think the voice guidance on it's great. I think the voice is better on Sky than it is on Samsung. But I agree with you. The Samsung TV is good. I think it's good for an accessibility point of view. It's a good TV anyway. I think on some of the versions of it, the one I've got is a 2020. I find the voice, and I have reported this to Samsung, that it's a bit laggy at times. I don't know if you've had this problem, but it's sometimes if you're going through something too quickly, it's as if it's struggling to keep up and the voice gets broken up a bit. But, you know, maybe that'll improve over time. I certainly hope it will. Processors are getting faster in TVs, so
exactly. The trouble is we get so excited that it is just accessible.
yeah.
that we tend to forgive a lot of these things. And you know what? We are getting shortchanged in some way. Yes, we're happy that it is accessible.
We shouldn't be happy, though, should we? We should. It's a demand of ours. I mean, we're customers like anybody else. We're paying our money like anybody else.
Exactly right. Exactly right. And we shouldn't be afraid to criticise it where it's failing.
Okay, well, interesting. I do know we have listeners who've got LG TVs, so do tell us about it. Maybe it would be nice to, if you can, to maybe record the sound of your TV and tell us what you think of it, and that would be rather interesting. You can email us, techtalk@rnib.org.uk. Right, let's get into another email. We're doing emails all this show, so back to the inbox.
Friend of the show and sometime guest, Callum Stoneman has emailed in.
Ah, Callum. Hello, Callum.
Hi, guys. I hope you're all well. I just wanted to get in touch to let you know about a new feature that recently became available in Jaws that allows you to quickly jump through message threads in Outlook. In short, if you're using Outlook and you're in a message that is part of a really long thread of emails, you can now press the letter N to jump forward to the message below, the one you're currently reading. Now, when you do this, Jaws will skip past all of the header information, i.e. who the message is from, the full list of recipients, the date and the time the message was sent, etc., and instead will quickly summarise this information by saying, from Callum, sent Tuesday at 1 p.m, for example, and will put your focus straight to the top of that message. If that's not the message that you're interested in, simply press N again, and you'll be straight down to the next message in the thread. And you can also press Shift plus N to navigate to the previous message. Quite honestly, this was one of those features that I read about a few weeks ago, but didn't realise how good it actually was until very recently, when I was catching up on emails after taking some leave from work. And it made such a difference to how quickly I could navigate through conversations and get to the message that I actually needed to read. This became available in the May update to Jaws 2021. It only works in Outlook for now, and I believe it only works with messages sent using Outlook. In other words, if someone in the conversation is writing their emails in the Gmail app, for example, their messages won't be included when you use the Jaws shortcut. However, from what I've heard on a webinar with Freedom Scientific recently, they're already working on improving this so that it works regardless of which mail client you and others are using. As I said, I absolutely love this feature. It's only a small thing, but it does give me that extra little boost of productivity. Hopefully, one of the incredible NVDA contributors out there will be able to bring something similar to NVDA as well. Hope that this helps you guys and stroke all the listeners. Kind regards, Callum.
Well, thank you, Callum. That's a very useful feature of Jaws, one I didn't know about at all. So that is brilliant to learn about. I'm sure others will feel the same. I must admit, Outlook is getting better. And, you know, Jaws is certainly catching up and certainly keeping up with all of the endless changes that seem to be happening with Microsoft Office or Office 365 or whatever we're calling it this week.
I want Outlook Express back.
I loved Outlook Express. Wasn't that just brilliant? Windows XP and Outlook Express. That's the future.
You keep telling me that, you know, I should use Outlook, but it's just so verbose to me. And I have gone through. You helped me go through and sort of try and cut that down to the minimum, but it slows me down so much. I'm using Windows Mail. I mean, and that's terrible. So the fact that I'm using that, this, anything that can make things faster such as this, I mean, you know, this is one of the reasons why Jaws is so well loved. Well, it's just a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
Well, this is something that I expected should have been there a long time ago, because is basically the next plain text command when you're in a browser.
Yeah.
So it'll skip past links and headings and all that. And like Hallam says, it might seem like a small thing, but for us, for navigation,
it's huge. Hold on.
Steven's learned something.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that was an option. So yeah, N takes you straight to the plain text.
To next plain text. So you, of course, I mean, the, you know, H for headings is like our amazing.
That's what I would normally use, yeah.
That's the best thing ever. And just and then arrow down once you got to the heading you want. But you can skip past all of that. Just hit N and it should take you to the next block of plain text. And so I've in the past actually tried to do this in apps like Outlook, and it didn't work. So I was just frustrated and just had to arrow down until you found it. But once they've implemented this, yeah, it's so much nicer if you've got a long email thread, as Callum talks about, where there's several replies and you're trying to get to a particular one. It does make it a lot easier. Almost like I said, like hitting a heading on a web page, but to the next plain text.
But doesn't that make it strange why it doesn't work with email clients that other than Outlook? That seems really strange. Are they formatting their emails differently? You know, surely jumping to the next plain text is the same no matter what the email client
is. That might not be what this is doing, though.
No, true. Maybe not.
This will be program specific somehow. This will be built into
probably very specific
the layout of Outlook. But yeah, that's very interesting. You know, Tim, I think you might have just earned yourself a better theme tune.
Hooray!
I think you might be up the rankings. I think Lee Greenwood is out.
I'm born in the USA now.
That's right, exactly. We'll go for the boss. We'll go for the boss.
An American idiot. You're safe. American idiot.
Thanks.
Okay, well, that's a brilliant feature. NVDA, I was going to ask you, Sean, because I know you're the king of NVDA around here.
No, I'm not.
he says who uses arrows and tabs to get through every single thing.
Exactly.
Anything like that you know of in NVDA?
I don't know how it works in Outlook. And I also got to say, I always turn off threaded conversations in emails because they confuse me. But not that I know of, but I mean, you do have that same sort of, you know, the one key quick nav for headers and next element of the same as the one you're currently on, and paragraph you can jump to. So yes, you have a lot similar, but as for Outlook itself, I don't know because I just don't use it.
Okay, let's get another email. What have we got, Andy?
Right, changing course here. Hi, I heard the review of the new RNIB digital radio on Tech Talk last week and I wanted to write with some comments. I was, as I imagine many others, excited to hear of this new accessible radio being launched. At first, hearing that the buttons give audible confirmation, I made the perhaps understandable mistake of thinking that this means that the options available from each control will also talk, i.e. stations, timer, notes function, etc. I was surprised and disappointed, therefore, to hear that while choosing the station function, for example, it speaks the control voice, but does nothing else. It doesn't speak the station list or anything like that. So everyone without enough eyesight to read the screen has nothing more to gain from buying this radio than any other inaccessibly designed model. It seems unbelievable that the RNIB have gone to all of the trouble of having this radio designed and built, and yet has not even bothered to take it to the arena of being properly accessible to a significant proportion of the demographic who would want to buy it by making the function choices and menus speak. My old pure digital Sonos One is far more accessible than this, even though most of the stations don't speak correctly any longer. Most people remember that the button layout on pieces of equipment after a while, but it is what lies behind them that we need to hear. I can't think what might have happened for this large, major organisation, brackets, of blind people, to have proudly launched such a disappointing product under their own name. I wonder if they have underspecified the radio from the outset with the manufacturer for whatever unfathomable reason. Maybe they only consulted with people with a reasonable amount of sight and were not clear enough about what a talking radio needed to do to be accessible to blind people. Perhaps the RNIB staff involved were not capable enough negotiators with the manufacturer to hold out for the product's accessibility. Surely they can't think that this is good enough. It should have an inaccessibility warning on the website, as I imagine that many people will be expect more of the RNIB and buy this radio with the expectation of a proper talking radio. I'm sure that I'm not the only person to be angry with the RNIB at what I can only think of as an opportunity missed. All the best. That's from Ian Popperwell.
Well, thank you, Ian. The shop does state that it's a simple radio with tactile buttons and an easy-to-read display to help people with low vision use its main features. It has an extra large display with high contrast characters the message feature, which I talked about, and also the compatibility with USB sticks from RNIB's Talking Book service. They do stop at the radio being for blind people. They're saying it's for people with low vision, which, after testing it, I would say is absolutely the case. This is not something I would recommend to someone who is blind, because you would need to have some eyes or an app, you know, Be My Eyes or IRA or something, on the device in order to see the station list, the station names. So there you go. That's all I can tell you. That's all I can tell you on it. But yeah, you can, of course, reach out to the helpline, give your thoughts, and you're more than welcome to do that. And of course, we've forwarded your email on to the RNIB products team. Let's carry on. What else have we got on the emails?
Hi, Andy, Robin, Stephen, Tim, and or Sean.
Covering all there, really, isn't
well, covering done. Everyone. A great show, as always. I was interested to hear Robin give someone the suggestion that they use a PC monitor as a TV and just plug a streaming device into it, because that was something that I had thought about doing. The problem is, however, I'm not sure of any monitors that have onboard audio, and if it did, it'd probably just be your normal 2.1 computer audio output. So no Dolby support. Going through my Amazon account, I realised that I tend to go through around about 5 audiobooks per month. So if you're speaking to a representative from Amazon, might you suggest that since they own Audible, they have a plan where I can get 5 credits per month? Many thanks. That is an email from Will Richards.
Well, yeah, and I should also say at this point, we were hoping to get someone from Amazon onto the show. What happened, just to tell you honestly what happened, we get so many emails in to our show and lots of different comments around Amazon, and we wanted to give those comments to Amazon to respond to. Maybe it was my fault, because I did give the emails over on the day of the interview, and I think they got a bit, hang on a minute.
It was your fault.
Let's get somebody in here who knows the answers to these questions, right? So yeah, we've given them time to go off and get the answers. We want to make sure that your questions are being answered by the people relevant, so hence why we put your Amazon queries to Amazon, and we'll get someone on from the company soon, I'm sure. So if you do have questions or queries, you know, send them in, because we'll just pass them on. It's as simple as that. We'll just pass them on to the companies and we'll let them respond. That's the best way to do it, and we have the joy here that we can do that here at RNIB. So let's definitely do that. Now, on the monitor front, this is interesting, because yeah, Robin mentioned this. I mentioned it as well last week. I think I was talking about the Samsung monitor that I'd bought, which I just absolutely love this monitor. I mean, it's the 32-inch version I got. I don't really know why I got that big one. I think it's partly because I didn't realize it was a 27-inch one, which would have been just fine. But there's this is a smart monitor, and this one has the speakers built in. It's got the smarts of a Samsung Smart TV, fully accessible. It comes in two variants, a 27-inch and a 32-inch. And you can plug in a couple of HDMIs. You can plug in a laptop to it via USB-C cable. You can even AirPlay from your phone or from your MacBook if you wanted to. You can even project from a Windows PC straight to it if you wanted to use the PC as a monitor. Or the screen as a monitor, I should say. So, you know, that's really good. The model numbers for those, just if you're interested, because I don't think there's anything else like this out there, to be honest. It's the M5 and the M7. The M5 is the 27-inch version. The M7 is the 32-inch version from Samsung. And the reason I get so excited about it, guys, is because it is fully accessible. So when you're setting it up, you know, the smarts are in there. You've got all the accessibility. You can just launch right into using it. Set it all up by yourself, even getting connected to some of the apps. You know, it was just giving you a QR code on the screen. You just had to point your phone at it, and you would get, you know, straight into, you know, say, I don't know, Amazon Prime or Netflix or whatever it would be. You know, it's so easy to set up. Other than that, if you're just buying a regular monitor and you are maybe thinking, well, I'd like to maybe put a Fire Stick into just a regular monitor that doesn't cost a huge amount of money, look for audio out. You're not going to get speakers in a lot of these monitors, but you might get an audio out. And that means it will take the audio. And I'm right in saying this, guys, aren't I? That the audio from whatever you're connecting in will just come out of that port. Now, you could plug speakers into that, or you could just plug headphones into it, I guess. There are ways to do it, right? So, you know, maybe that's an option.
And the speakers, or sorry, I should say the monitors or displays you do get speakers on, by and large, are terrible speakers anyway. You're not going to want to listen to.
Yeah.
So you can use an audio out, as you said, but usually that's just going to be a 3.5mm, you know, headphone jack. So when it comes to Dolby and things like that, you're right, unless it's got an optical out as well. And once you get to that level, though, because I think what this is referring to is the email we got from someone saying they don't have a TV, but they have a sighted partner, and it was talking about watching programs using a show, an Echo show, and we suggested this. But once you start getting to the point of wanting Dolby and that, then actually it may be time to, well, let's just buy a cheap, accessible TV, which will have, you know, Dolby support and things like that built into it. So, yeah, but you're right. I mean, 2.1 you can definitely do from most monitors. There will be an audio out, but you do need to check. But Dolby Digital, probably not. But actually, when it comes to something like the Fire Stick or an Apple TV, you've got the wireless options. With the Fire TV, you could use something like the Echo Smart Speakers as wireless surround sound. It'd have to be the Echo Studios. And I think the HomePods work with the Apple TV.
Yeah, that's right.
For speakers as well. So there are ways around
quite,
it. But
that gets quite costly, though. I mean, what about
exactly.
What about the Echo Show? I mean, it's you can't watch live TV on it, can you?
That's the thing. You can't watch live TV. And we was talking about if you wanted, you know, the whole reason of getting a screen involved was for the benefit of your sighted partner.
Mm.
Then an Echo Show probably isn't the best way to go. You're limited into what media streaming services you have. And plus, you're missing out on live TV. So maybe at that point, it's time just to get a small, regular TV.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been the question. We've had this come up a lot on the show where people have asked the question, how can I have the benefit of TV without necessarily having a TV screen? And that's a challenge these days. It's quite hard to do because you do need to have something there, and the hub is essentially the television. Going back to the Samsung conversation about Samsung TVs, there is a feature now in there which I think is brilliant, which is kind of like screen curtain for your TV, like you would have on your phone, or, you know, maybe on a smartphone or a tablet or even on a computer. You can have the screen curtain come up where it just basically blanks out the screen. You can now do that with these Samsung TVs, which I think is pretty cool. You know, so if you don't want the screen up there, you can just turn it off. And that means you could buy a small TV. I mean, it's different if you've got someone in the house who needs to see it, fair enough. But, you know, if you're on your own, you might not need to be burning the screen out. You know,
you might have
trouble with light as well, like I do.
Yeah.
You just turn the screen off. Just listen to it.
There must be a way, though, because there was, back in the day, there was those TV tuning audio only devices, wasn't there?
That's right,
late 80s.
Is it Portset or something? Was that another company?
Yeah. But you don't see it. But I think it's to do with the lack of accessible free view set-top boxes. Because if you had one of those, you could get a HDMI to audio adapter and just plug it straight in HDMI into some speakers or even into a soundbar and bypass the screen. But it's actually trying to find an accessible free view box now. It's really difficult.
Yeah, what was the one that used to be TVonix?
Yes.
Yeah,
that was great. I had mine for years and it was fantastic, but they just stopped doing them, and I don't know of any others.
I don't think there are many. The most accessible smart TV box I've ever experienced is the Apple TV. It just is, for every reason.
It is, but for live TV, the live TV segment, I mean, you could argue live TV is almost, you know, on its last legs anyway. But
well, you can get, I don't know if it's still going, but you could get like TV Player, remember that? Which you could download, and that would give you a live TV if you wanted.
Kind of, but then you don't get audio description on most of that.
No, that's
true. Just stream the regular
YouTube
audio.
TV over here. You guys have a YouTube TV, don't you?
No, we don't have that, no.
Ah, well, then.
Oh, well, see, your smugness brings Lee Greenwood back in, you see. So Lee Greenwood's now moving
smugness.
In. Bruce Springsteen's now out.
That was disappointment. It was,
oh, I see.
It was, yes.
He's trying to reclaim. Right, okay, fine.
Yeah.
God bless the USA.
There are a few streaming services that you can get that are streaming service apps, like a YouTube TV or others, where the other one I can't think of what the other one's called right now. But there are a couple of those where you can get free TV, at least. They're not free. What am I saying? Accessible live TV, definitely not free. It's a shame that you guys don't have access to YouTube TV. Send Google a message. Tell them you want YouTube TV in the UK.
But do, th- But even with YouTube TV, I mean, the actual app itself may be accessible. You can choose the program. But do they offer audio description on any
of
those?
Yes, they do.
They do? Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yes. I was very pleasantly surprised when that happened. And it's very easy to switch between the primary and secondary audio. And even things like during the Olympics, they had a live narration of things going on as they happened. And those were even available and accessible. So, yeah, it is accessible as an app, and it has audio description. So
we just need to move to America. We're there.
That'd save all the hassle, wouldn't it? Yeah. Let's move the whole show to America. What if we don't like what's on? Then just all trail back,
move
I guess.
Back.
Yeah, okay, fine.
Come back for Coronation Street.
You'll come back when you realize how many more commercials we have than you guys do.
Oh, I couldn't be bothered with it. You know, I was watching NBC Nightly News the other night, and it felt like every 5 seconds they were just saying, right, okay, well, coming up, we're going to talk about this after this short break. And actually, at one point, I felt the guy was actually pleading for people to stay. Because he's like, in under 60 seconds, we'll be back. And I'm thinking, why can't you just stay? I mean, the time it's taken you to tell me what's coming, you could just have got on with it. Anyway, that's another story. It's interesting, though, isn't it? There isn't really a solution that gets you to the point where audio-only TV is possible. And because, I mean, even the Apple TV does present problems because I think the only audio you've got is digital. So you would need to connect up another optical device. I mean, yes, okay, you could buy a couple of HomePod minis, possibly. That might work. But I don't know how that would go without the TV connected. Does it work without the TV connected? I haven't tried it. Interesting. Anyway, okay, let's get another email in.
All right, this email comes all the way from Australia, from Lindy. Hi, team. I love the podcast and I listen to it every week. Plus other such resources, such as, what's this, Double Tap Canada? Never heard of it. I gain a lot, especially knowledge of other relevant resources. My only issue is that being totally blind, I often faff around finding the said resource online because I misspell it. Not only am I blind, but I also have mild hearing impairment to boot. I would really appreciate it if the commentators, that's you guys, could spell out titles and names when referring to or recommending them to assist me and others to take the information further. All the best to Stephen, Tim, Robin and Andy, and Sean. Cheers from Oz. That's from Lindy.
Well, we'll take that on board. I absolutely agree. We do tend to speed through sometimes our recommendations. So, yes, we will definitely make sure we make them clearer for you. And, just drop us an email if we get it wrong again. And by the way, I should be clear on this as well. It's all Sean's fault. That's Shaunprece.
I'm just temporary. I'm a temp. I'm not here.
You're like the substitute teacher at the moment, aren't you?
Yes, it's actually Tim who's responsible.
All right.
T-I-M. Whoever said I was responsible?
I can't spell Schwartz.
Okay.
Just like Spaceballs, may the Schwartz be with you. It's the same way.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Stephen doesn't know what that is.
I don't know what that is. Is that a film?
He doesn't watch movies.
I do watch movies. I just don't watch that one. No, space what? I've heard of Space Jam.
Don't make him say it.
Right. Made me say it. Yeah.
Moving on.
Yeah, okay. I just realised the trap that I'd opened up for myself there. Right, okay. Carry on, Andy. What else have we got?
Hi, guys. Great show. Just wanted to tell you that BT has moved me over to their new service, BT Digital Voice. No more copper wire. Now all calls will go by my broadband. Now please can you do a feature or get BT to talk about the services? As you all know, landlines are being faded out here in the UK. All the best. That's from Tom in Belfast.
Oh, thank you, Tom. I don't know if I'd agree with that. Are landlines being phased out? I mean, landline phones, I guess you mean. But the physical landline still exists,
they
right?
They are being phased out. They've come out and said by 2025, the old, what do they call it, PTSN network is being phased out, and they will be using voice over internet protocol instead.
Voice
and
over?
It does bring... Yeah, voiceover, yes. That's right. We're excited.
Yeah,
it does
cool.
bring up some issues, though, because if you don't have an internet connection in your house or you don't have an internet connection to your house, You are going to lose your landline. Now, they are going to say that before they get to that point, they are going to find a solution for that. But the fact is that landlines are going away by 2025.
The way you did that, that was quite terrifying. It was almost like one of those reports on Watchdog.
Sorry.
I actually felt like one of those UN climate reports. You know, we're all doomed. We will all be, you know, gone by 2025. Thanks, Sean.
They are not going to leave anyone without a way to communicate, is what they're saying. But there are issues that come along with this. A lot of the old hardware relies on this old telephone network, landline network, such as traffic lights. And also, power is supplied through those landline wires. So if you do have a blackout or power cut, then you can still use your telephone. But obviously, if you're not using the landline anymore, that goes away, and if your internet goes down, that goes away. So there are issues, but I know it does sound a bit terrifying, but they do say that they are not going to leave anyone with the inability to communicate, and they will sort that out.
It's terrifying, and I think you're right. There are a lot of people who are listening to this saying, "Hang on a minute, landline is going." And I'll be honest, that's news to me. I wasn't aware of that. But it doesn't, in a way, it doesn't surprise me, and also it doesn't shock me. I get why people would be, but the reason it doesn't surprise me too much is because I think the last time I picked up a landline phone was to tell someone who was asking me if I wanted PPI for the 8 millionth time to get off my line.
Or that you had a virus on your computer.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Or, you know, that I was apparently in some accident, or, you know, I was responsible for something or other. You know, and you just think, I think that, my last one might have been genuine. But we just moved on. But I don't know, I'm not hugely surprised. The idea of using a landline phone to make calls, it just seems archaic. You know, I just wouldn't do it anymore. But I know a lot of people do live by it. Yeah, but people do need them, you know. People do still use them, of course. Not everyone has internet. And I think, in some ways, I can see why people think it's scary. I actually think it's a great opportunity. Because for all these people who are not currently, and there are a lot of people who are not, they talk about the digital divide, don't they? Where people are on the other side of it. They don't have access to internet. They don't have the ability to get it. Maybe some of those people need to be nudged on to that world. You know, it's some people, it might be just too much too late for them, and fair enough, I understand that. Some people might just think it's just not for me, I'm too old, I don't care. But I think access to
maybe
services,
you've got no choice.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, everything's online. I think about my mum and dad in this situation. They're having to deal with a lot of situations with various health issues at the moment, and they're dealing with lots of, you've got to go online and they've got to fill out a form and they've got to do this. And my dad's fairly adept to some degree, I said, but, you know, neither of them are visually impaired, but they are technically impaired, I would say. They're not that up on this stuff. No, and it just terrifies them.
Yeah, absolutely. And my father-in-law is exactly the same. No internet, no interest in it. But, I mean, it will become a point where it's just a case of an engineer will come around and change the telephone socket in your house, and instead of being to a copper line, it'll be to an internet fiber optic. And that's what it comes down to, is that all the copper lines are being replaced by fiber optics, so it's impossible to send an electric signal in that way down fiber optics. So it's a case of the actual physical replacement of old copper wires. It's going to be, you know, it will be a better solution in the end, but it's that transition period that's a bit scary.
Yeah, what's it like in the States, Tim, with all this? I mean, you guys getting upgraded constantly, or is it fairly static?
It's well, I haven't, like you, I haven't used a landline in probably 10 years, actually. We haven't actually had one in the home for a long time. My mother-in-law still has it, I think, just for emergency sake, because she's just afraid that her phone will be dead when she needs to call somebody, so she still has hers. But I don't think that's going to last very much longer. My parents just recently, about a year or so ago, moved into a new house, and they did not have a landline installed. They just used their cell phones. So it is becoming more common to not have one, and they are actively removing the copper wiring and access and replacing it with internet. So that is something that has been actively going on for a while. I don't honestly know if there is a specific date like Sean was talking about for the UK, but I would not be surprised if it was a very similar situation, because I know they're desperately trying to upgrade everything, the fiber optic, and get broadband internet to every part of the country as much as they possibly can, and eliminate the old way of doing things. So yeah, it is definitely something that's happening.
Yeah, it's scary for people, I think.
It's going to be replaced with like a Big Brother box or something. That's, you know, this
I don't even think it's that.
Seeing eye watching you all.
No, I don't think it's that. I think it's. No? But some people might think that, of course, but I think for most people, it's just fear of the unknown. You know, and the idea that someone's going to walk in and, you know, hand you an iPad and say, "Have a nice life," and you're just sitting thinking, "Now what?" You know, take away my phone and now I'm left with this thing that I don't have a clue what to do with. I think that's the challenge. But that's the problem with these companies, isn't it? In some ways, it's good that they're upgrading, but they have to bring people along with them. And for it's easy for us to sit here. We're all nerds, right? We'll all sit and play with the latest tech, and that's fine. And we'll say, "Oh, come on, learn the latest tech. Come on, just get on board." But, you know, if you don't have any support around you, and if you are blind to boot as well, you add that on, it's a horrible situation for somebody to have to deal with. They're having to learn how to use something that they don't really understand. They don't have the resources. They don't have the knowledge. They don't know who to ask. And, you know, if you ask your grandson and, you know, the grandson doesn't understand, you know, "Oh, look, Grandpa, look, it's great. You know, it does things." And your grandpa's saying, "I can't see any of this stuff. What are you showing me?
What are you talking about?" Yeah, but let's make this clear that it's not necessarily now everyone's got to use a smartphone. I'm sure, you know, regular landline telephones will be the same sort of format. You know, I mean, it's still going to be push-button phones. And there may be even a way to convert regular phones, like using a microfilter somehow, or some box that you just plug your existing landline into.
Well, that's what they call VoIP, isn't it?
VoIP, yeah, but that's what it's all changing internet. To. Yeah. But they're also saying that the people are complaining, that, and I agree with this because I'm in the same situation. I don't want my landline. It's just my spam line. I don't want it. No one uses it.
Yeah,
but
right.
I cannot get rid of it. Yeah, I've asked my current internet provider to get rid of it, and they say, "Well, it's going to cost you more not to have it." So,
same thing here. Yep.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, absolutely ridiculous.
You get that bundled price. Yeah, you get a bundled price, and you get your landline, and if you want to get rid of it, well, you have to pay $30 more, which, yeah, it makes no sense.
Now, that's interesting to me, because what you're talking about here sounds very similar to what happened to me. So in the place I live, we had a big upgrade during the pandemic. It was all planned in and it all happened. And I think because the work was outdoor, they could continue it even during the pandemic. And it was to take the whole town and make it into a gigabit network town. So we had gigabit network here. And it was all put in and all the cables were laid. None of the work could be done in the homes until the pandemic restrictions had eased. But, you know, we finally got it in. And interestingly, when I contacted the company to get it put in, they said, "Do you want a phone?" And I said, "No, I don't need a phone on this line." And they just said, "That's fine. Great, no problem. If you want a phone, it'll cost you extra. You don't have to have it." And that's it. So it seems to be going the other way around when you're getting those new installs. And maybe that's the good news for you, Sean, that, you know, basically what I'm saying is get rid of your internet entirely and get someone new in.
This is the best one. I've got, 300 meg download and whatever. It's a great service. It's just the company themselves have made the decision that they're going to try and, I nearly said something,
upsell.
Get as much money off me as I can, because they know everybody hates the landline.
Yeah, that's probably true. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, but we'll see what happens. I mean, I think it's an interesting topic. I don't know if others have faced this as well, and I wonder what your experiences are. You can tell us by email. We'll look forward to hearing it. How are we doing on the inbox, Andy?
We are empty.
Is that it?
We are fully empty.
Oh, well
yes,
done.
We can take this opportunity to say
well
to
done,
the
everyone.
Listeners,
please email
if
him.
You do want to email us, maybe you want to tell Stephen that he's right. Maybe you want to
probably
tell Sean
not.
That he's wrong. Maybe you want to suggest what's theme that? Music for Tim. Then you can. Or maybe you want to suggest a product for Robin to review. techtalk@rnib.org.uk.
Yeah, let's give him all the work. I think that's a good idea. Yeah. Let's get Robin on the case.
Interestingly enough, about my theme music, you keep talking about, you know, American-themed patriotic music. Sean knows this. The most appropriate theme music for me is probably anything by Queen. So it's
wow.
Not,
well,
you know this.
You said it.
Not the Queen. Just Queen.
That's true. That
he's making
true.
The point that British rock is more appropriate for me probably than American rock, but that's okay.
It is. That is his favourite band ever.
You see, what we should have done, we should just have stopped the show right there. Just at that moment, we should just have ended it Thanks. Right there and just let the listener decide on that one. Now, listen, last week I mentioned my iPhone SE. I have been utterly useless, and I haven't got around to even doing anything. It's still in the box. What is wrong
How
with my
dare
life?
You? Just send it to me.
A whole week has gone by. This thing's just sitting here. But yeah, I am intending to open it up. So I've got the iPhone SE in red. That makes a difference, guys. That means it goes faster. It's 128 gig, which is great. Oh, someone's so shocked they've just disappeared off our Zoom call here. Andy's out. Right, okay. I think it would be so funny after that conversation about internet that his internet had just gone, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
That's probably exactly what's happening.
Just dial in on your landline, Andy.
Yeah, exactly. If you've still got one. Yeah, who's moaning about it now? But yeah, I got that one. It's a lovely phone. It's quite heavy though, Tim, isn't it? I mean, I remember I've got my iPhone 7 here. I'm just comparing the weight, and it does feel like the iPhone 7 is, I don't know.
You don't think they're about the same? They're
similar,
pretty close.
But
they're almost the same phone, except the innards, of course.
Yeah, and no earphones, I'm guessing, with this one, because it's, you know, all ecologically friendly.
Nope, no earphones, which you don't need. Bluetooth, that's all you need.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, look, we're sort of glossing over the issue here of buying a last year's phone before an Apple event. Absolutely ridiculous, sir.
Well, you might think that's absolutely ridiculous.
No, I don't think it. I know it, sir.
Well, I will say that I think that this, my reason for buying this, because I must admit, I have had a few questions about this one. Why did you buy an iPhone SE 2020 when, you know, it's likely new phones are coming out? Well, look, I don't think for a second a new iPhone SE is coming out in September. I just don't see it happening, because it was about 4 years, if I remember rightly, 4 years from the original SE to this one. Yeah.
And they learned their lesson that is a popular phone that sells a lot of units. It was the best-selling phone I think they had last year.
Yeah.
I would not be shocked, actually, if a new one came out. I mean, when I first heard the rumors that one could be coming, I thought the same thing as you. I'm like, they're not going to do that a year later. But the more reports I've read about it, because it is such a popular selling phone, I don't know that I'll be as surprised anymore, because they will sell quite a few if they brought another one.
But the thing is, it does have the bonus ball, as I call it, and that is the Touch ID. I love the Touch ID.
Yes.
And I was mentioning a couple of weeks ago about how I'd left my phone at home and I was using this phone, well, not this phone, but the iPhone 7, and Andy came back. I was just about to say, actually, Andy had come back, but now he's gone again. He's either utterly horrified at what I'm saying or his internet has gone entirely. But yeah, so I got this. Or both, exactly. I was so horrified, and then my internet gave up. But yeah, so this has got the Touch ID. I think what they're probably likely to do is put the Touch ID into the home, the button at the top of the device, a bit like what they've done with the iPad Air. And I don't know if I fancy that. I don't know if that appeals to me. This just, that position just felt really comfortable to me. And the reason I got this is because I know all these will become either new iPhone SE 2s or SE 3, I guess it would be, or iPhone 13 minis or something. So I thought, I'm going to get one, but well, I've still got the chance, because I think I actually do really love that phone. Andy's back. Are you all right, Andy? Are you having technical issues?
I'm having technical issues. I finished the email inbox,
and your internet,
my internet decided to die twice. So if I disappear and don't say goodbye, that's where I've gone.
You're a very rude person. Okay, that's fine.
I know.
Terrible person.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks. Means a lot coming from you.
And he should know. So, we also got the Beats as well, the Studio Buds. And the reason I got these was because, I don't really have a reason, to be honest, I just got them.
But, I was waiting for that.
Yes, so I don't really know what the reason is.
Your brain ticking over.
I was like, and the thing, I wanted to get a pair of AirPods Pro because the ones I have are terrible, and they've gone, the crackling thing is terrible in them, and I know I should take them in and all the rest of it.
I'm back.
I know, but I know new ones are coming. That's the point. So I was thinking, I want something in the median term. So that's why I got these. And, 129 quid for these. I think that's right, the price was. And these are,
right.
Yeah, and these are very nice, very similar setup to the AirPods Pro, the same kind of approach, easy one tap to get them onto your device. And that's the case for both Android and for Apple, so they work across. Again, I haven't opened them yet, so I will test them. We'll talk about them next week. I'll give you a thorough review of what I think of these. I'm probably more interested in these than you are in the phone, because most of us know how the iPhone SE goes. But yeah, these Beats, I'm interested to hear the sound, because the one issue I've always had with Beats is that they're way too bassy.
That was always the criticism against them. That's how they were tuned.
Yeah, but I think something's different about these, because people I know who I trust in this field have said, these are different, these are better. So that's why I've made the decision. And it's also, it's just an excuse, basically. I wanted to buy them just to play with them.
Your wife's not here, it's fine. You don't have to make any excuses. You just wanted them.
Yeah, you can play with the equalizer settings as well. You know, go in and change the bass. But no, I think you wanted those because, of course, the higher quality Dolby Atmos in Apple Music automatically kicks in with the Beats headphones. So you wanted it automatic. That was the reason, right?
Oh, that's true.
I didn't know that was a thing, but there we go.
With the new spatial audio and the high quality, better than CD quality audio of the new Apple Music and Dolby Atmos.
Can I ask you something? Do you really notice a difference on that? Has anybody tried it?
With the Dolby Atmos, I don't know, but the spatial audio, I absolutely have noticed a difference. I've actually listened to tracks before and then listened to it as a spatial audio track, and it is absolutely different, and it is really, really good. I really like it.
I think Bohemian Rhapsody by
Yeah, bro. Or
that
God
was one
America
of the first ones I listened
Greenwood.
To, actually. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, for me, I just feel, when I listen to the audio, I was listening to one on my AirPods Max, I think it was, and it was the Marvin Gaye track, What's Going On. They were using it as a demonstration of how they had created the spatial audio. To me, it just seems to, in some ways, I think it's because you're so used to hearing a song in a certain way. And when it changes, it feels like a different song. It feels like something's different or something's not quite right. And it's not clicking with me yet. People know I love good quality, and that's fine. But it feels less about good quality and more about this obsession of hearing that, you know, behind Marvin Gaye, someone's eating a Mars bar or something. You know, it's like, I don't know why I need to hear that. Why is that relevant to me? Other chocolate bars are available. Although none is good.
Have you bought into this wireless headset, really? I know you've got a few, and I think you've got a few as well, Tim. Did you get the Amazon Echo Buds?
I did not, because instead my wonderful wife for Christmas last year got me AirPods. So.
Oh, bless her. But yes. I'm still not convinced by wireless earbuds. I get they're more convenient, right? You're not as tangled up.
It's almost all I use.
But yeah. I don't know. When you're out and about, I'm still terrified of dropping the things because I know I'm never, ever going to find them again.
that's the problem.
So I still find myself grabbing the old, Apple AirPods. I don't know. Look, I understand how useful they are, but I'm just so scared of dropping them.
Well, especially with masks now as well.
Yeah, that's right.
You got the thing around your ears, so as soon as I try and take a mask off, I'm like, this is totally going to fling my Huawei buds, onto the rail track or over the other side of the road.
I actually rarely use my AirPods in public for that exact reason. I go back to my Sennheiser one that I can have clip over my ear, so I know it's nice and secure. The single ear, one that I have. But if I want to listen to music, I'm pretty careful about that.
Well, on that bombshell, we shall end it there. I'll let you know how these go, though. Of course, I will never find them because they are red. And that means that if they do fall out my ear, they're gone forever. So whoever gets them can enjoy them. But anyway, listen, thank you so much, Tim. Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Emails Andy. As always, we're back for another Tech Talk next week at the same time right here on RNIB Connect Radio and on the podcast. We'll catch you then. Keep in touch. Tech Talk at rnib.org.uk. Cheers, guys.
Bye-bye. Bye.